RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahman Hafiz, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls on ministers to control budget. Panama Papers may help KPK hunt down corruptors' hidden assets. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called ministers and heads of agencies to take control of their budget. Opening a plenary cabinet meeting at the State Secretary Building in Jakarta on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo affirmed that every minister and head of agency must control their budget. They should not delegate the task to their subordinates. He also added that the budget must be focused on current programs instead of being planned based on the old methods. He advised that there is no need to craft numerous programs, just concentrate on programs that are for the people and that create multiplier effects on the business sector. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo held a plenary cabinet meeting to discuss the revised 2016 state budget draft at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. In addition to the state budget draft, President Joko Widodo and his minister would deliberate three other agendas, namely the priority program and the indicated ceiling in the 2017 government work plan, and the acceleration of ease of doing business and the implementation of one-mate policy. Previously, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said the President Joko Widodo would issue an instruction for newly elected region heads on Friday, April 8, 2016. Pramono revealed that the president wants to ensure that central government policies would be implemented at the regional level. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) announced on Wednesday that it is currently studying the names of Indonesian individuals and companies appearing in the so-called Panama Papers, leaked documents from a Panamanian law firm that have shone a spotlight on widespread tax evasion and money laundering by politicians and public figures worldwide. KPK Deputy Chairman Laude Sarip said the Croatian suspect and convicts often use offshore accounts and sell companies headquarters in tax haven countries to hide and launder ill-gotten wealth. He also affirmed that KPK is studying the names in the Panama Papers. Offshore accounts are a big problem for law imposers not only in Indonesia but also overseas. The Indonesian Flight Navigation Service Organizer Body, known as AirNav Indonesia, is ready to disburse funds for improving flight navigation devices in Indonesia. In 2016, AirFed will invest 2.2 trillion rupiah in roughly 273 pioneer and major airports operated by PT Angkasa Pura 1 and 2, as well as Transportation Ministry. President Director of AirNav Indonesia, Bambang Cahyono, on the sidelines of AirNav Indonesia National Meeting 6 in Surabaya, Jawa on Wednesday, said that the allocation for each airport will be adjusted with its respective needs. High-traffic airports will be given more priority compared to small ones. He also pointed out that to boost the improvement, AirNav Indonesia will need an additional 200 air traffic control ATC experts. The human capital is going to be recruited and assigned at the Papua airports. Indonesian government has increased the threshold for non-taxable income for individual taxpayer by half this year to boost domestic consumption and economic growth. This was affirmed by Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro on Wednesday. He said that under a ministerial regulation to take effect in June, the government has waived income tax on first 54 million rupiah or around 4,100 US dollar annual income or unmarried individuals, leaving that with more to spend. The previous cap was 36 million rupiah. Marriage couple will have a larger tax credit in line with the number of children. Minister Bambang also said that the regulation also allows taxpayers to have their tax payments credited from the beginning of the year. The plan has been approved by lawmakers and would have a positive impact on domestic macroeconomic stability, increase household consumption and raise investment. The European Union, EU, is committed to supporting Indonesian government support to increase tourist visit across Indonesia. This was stated by Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, Vincent Guerin, after officially announcing the Destination Tourist Plan of Event in Jakarta on Wednesday. Ambassador Vincent said that last year there were 1 million European tourists visiting Indonesia, saying that this party can do better to increase the number. In addition, he also pointed out that the European Union is also supporting Indonesian government to develop infrastructure and making Indonesia as one of the most interesting tourist destinations around the globe.
My understanding is that there are currently 1 million, roughly, European tourists visiting Indonesia every year, mm-hmm. out of the 10 or so million visiting your country. Mm-hmm. So 1 million is fine. We could certainly do better. Mm-hmm. And we are certainly supporting all the efforts made by the Indonesian government to increase the level of infrastructure to make Indonesia as an even more attractive tourist destination.
Furthermore, Ambassador Vincent expresses support towards establishing an equal tourism in several regions, aiming at making sustainable tourism in small village communities in Indonesia. He also remarked that the European Union is committed to promoting Indonesia as tourism destination in the global communities. The last item, the European Union provides chances for Indonesian people to explore Europe through European Destination Festival-themed travel and culture fair. They plan to be held on 9 until 10 of April 2016, presents an extraordinary occasion to explore Europe. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Guerin, in his press statement said in Jakarta on Wednesday, the destination tour is a unique opportunity to bring experiences from Europe to Indonesian public. He further hopes that the event will provide a good chance for Indonesian people to get more information about Europe.
The goal of the European Union and the goal of all the countries represented here and participating was to present in a different way Europe. We want to do this in a more comprehensive way by combining the usual presentation of the various tourist destinations, but also by adding something which is very dear to us and very specific to Europe, maybe, which is this incredible cultural variety. And so visitors will see during these 2 days in Balakartini this extraordinary richness of Europe, both as a cultural and as a tourist destination.
Ambassador Vincent Guerin further explained that Destination Europe is jointly prepared by European Union member state, featuring 22 European member state and 3 other European countries. He also hopes that the event will be able to increase Indonesian visits to European Union that reached 360,000 visits in 2015. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Policy Dilemma to Maintain Marine Wealth. Indonesian Fisherman's Day, which falls on April 6, was marked by not only a sense of joy but also a sense of disappointment by those people in the marine sector in Indonesia. In one hand, sound policies to maintain the maritime economy, which were issued by the Minister of Maritime Fishery, bring about positive impact. On the other hand, they also cause controversy for the fishermen and fishery entrepreneurs in Indonesia. The policies of the Minister of Marine and Fishery to seize some foreign vessels that catch fish illegally in Indonesian economic zone are assessed positive as seen from the reduction in illegal fishing or theft of fish in Indonesian waters. But some other supplementary policies that prohibit the use of fishing gears, catching called chartran nets or trawl on the movement of goods and marine products in the middle of the sea, helped cause protests and make some fishermen stop going to the sea. Related to this, Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujasuti said that the policies taken by her are meant to save the marine natural resources that had been stolen by foreign parties. Moreover, the policies also aim to encourage domestic fishermen to catch fish based on environmentally friendly products. Meanwhile, a member of the House of Representatives at Commission 4, Raffi Munawar, said in a press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday that some policies of the Minister of Maritime and Fishery lack of alternative solutions. He views that the policies do not pay attention to the process of transition and adaptation to the situation of each region. The government doesn't provide enough assistance and familiarity for the fishermen who have difficulty in implementing the enforcement of the existing regulations. Chairman of the Association of Maritime Fishing Indonesia, Tri Buana, said as a result of moratorium on marine policy, the national fishing industries such as national fishery entrepreneurs and the fishermen almost go bankrupt because all is interconnected. Meanwhile, Chairman of Fishermen Association of Indonesia for Pekalongan, Rasdio Wibowo, assessed that the policies are reasonable and acceptable for the sake of the future of the fishermen themselves. However, he asked for more time because the fishermen have already spent a lot of money to purchase equipment that is prohibited because it was purchased before the policy issued. Meanwhile, head of the surveillance station Marine Resources and Fisheries for Tual Maluku, Mukhtar, views that since the influence of the ministerial policies, illegal fishing vessels now almost disappear from Aru Waters and Arafuru. Now those illegal ships are afraid to enter Indonesian waters due to fear of sinking their vessels. As a consequence, the traditional fishermen are now much able to enjoy their catch. The policies enacted by the Minister of Marine and Fishery are aimed to maintain and safeguard the sovereignty of Indonesian sea regions. They are also one of programs of the President Joko Widodo's government. He used to declare that Indonesia is a maritime axis. This means that Indonesia must restore its maritime glory as well as all marine wealth that can be exploited economically by all Indonesian nations as good as possible. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, here is today in history. We begin with Indonesian Force Anniversary. Indonesian Air Force, or TNI AU, is part of Indonesian Forces, which is responsible for aerial defense operation. Previously, TNI AU was a part of National Army, which was named People's Security Army. On January 23, 1946, the People's Security Army turned into National Army as part of further development of initial idea of the Air Force. On April 9, 1946, Indonesian Army Aviation Service was replaced with Indonesian Air Force. The date later became the National Aviation Day since 1961 until 1973. However, according to historical research, there was no fact or data showing that 9th April was National Aviation Day. Therefore, since 1974, the date was commemorated again as Indonesian Air Force Day. We continue with Deir Yassin massacre in the Palestine. Deir Yassin massacre occurred on April 9, 1948. This slaughter is merely part of more documented massacres against the Palestinians by Zionist terror militia, aiming to turn Palestine into a Jewish country. At the time, more than 270 civilians of Palestine living in Deir Yassin village were sadistically slaughtered by Irgun terrorist organization. The Irgun organization is a militia led by Menachem Begin, the fundamental figure of Zionists who later became Israeli prime minister. Due to continuous terror by the Zionists, a big number of Palestinians evacuated into other regions. We end today in history with Baghdad fell into the Allies. During the invasion of US and its allies to Iraq on April 9, 2003, after defending for 20 days, Baghdad finally fell into US and the Allies. The fall of Baghdad in a very short time surprised many observers because the Allied forces were predicted to be desperately resisted by Iraqi Republic Guards. After occupying Iraq, U.S. soon claimed the area as its colony and placed hundreds of thousands of troops in the country. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus. The theme of today's Focus is preparing students and the youth to have a competitive edge after graduating. The youth and student in ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, are under the spotlight of Minister of Manpower, Hanif Dakiri. In his speech at the National Seminar and the National Coordinating Meeting, Rakornas of Uslahuddin National Student Forum for Madina in Jambi on Monday, Minister Dakiri encouraged students to be competent and competitive individuals after graduating for their campus and they are able to compete in community. The seminar themed Building Qualified and Competitive Students to Face the Challenges in the Era of ASEAN Economic Community. According to Minister Dakiri, to be competitive, the students must equip themselves a set of good qualifications, strong characters, innovation and creativity to facilitate market entry work properly or to be entrepreneurs. He also affirmed that Indonesia is surplus of employment, but most of the workforce, or about 50.83 million people, are poorly educated. Meanwhile, the dominance of employment in the informal sector reaches about 66.3 million jobs. These conditions bring about significant magnitude of the challenges faced by Indonesia in improving national productivity, well-being of society, and facing the global era. Minister Hanif Dakiri added that the AEC has a process continues to accelerate. The situation signs that the relations among the nations in ASEAN region will be much colored with economic, social, political, legal factors and science and technology of a country. The magnitude of the challenges faced by Indonesia in ASEAN Economic Community AEC was also admitted by the chairman of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association, HITMI, Bahlil Lahadailia. In his meeting with Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawani in Jakarta on Wednesday, Bahlil disclosed the result of a survey of students in Indonesia. As many as 83% of students tend to express that they want to become civil servants or employees instead of becoming entrepreneurs. In fact, to be able to compete with neighboring countries, at least 1.7 million young people are needed to become entrepreneurs. Bahlil refers to this condition as an emergency of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, for Indonesia. In response to these conditions, Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi agreed with HIPMI that there must be a large-scale policy changes to deal with the ASEAN Economic Community. One of them is a policy that makes it easy for the youth or people at large to engage in business world. Meanwhile, HITMI is also committed to creating young entrepreneurs of Indonesia. Therefore, in the near future, HITMI will hold student jambore of all ASEAN universities by utilizing the momentum of National Awakening Day. The jambore will be held at the University of Telkom Bandung West Java on 19 until 23rd of May. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called ministers and heads of agencies to take control of their budget. Opening plenary cabinet meeting at the State Secretary Building in Jakarta on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo affirmed that every minister and head of agency must control their budget. President Joko Widodo held a plenary cabinet meeting to discuss the revised 2016 state budget draft at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK announced on Wednesday that it is currently studying the names of individuals and companies appearing in the so-called Panama Papers. Indonesian Flight Navigation Service Organizer Body, known as AirNav Indonesia, is ready to disburse funds for improving flight navigation devices in Indonesia. Indonesian government has increased the threshold for non-taxable income for individual taxpayers by half this year to boost domestic consumption and economic growth. The European Union is committed to supporting Indonesian government's effort to increase tourist visits across Indonesia. This was stated by Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, Vincent Gurant, after officially announcing the Destination Europe Plan event in Jakarta on Wednesday. European Union provide chances for Indonesian people to explore Europe through European Destination Festival, Theme Travel and Culture Fair. The event to be held on 9 until 10 of April 2016 presents an extraordinary occasion to explore Europe. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer this following question. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Kato Boko tradition of South Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Listener, on Sunday, March 20th, 2016, Bajo Bodoa Village Community, Maros Baru Subdistrict, Maros Regency in South Sulawesi Province, flocked to the Bala Lompoa or Palace Complex, Marusu Kingdom in Bajo Bodoa. Hundreds of residents meet the palace area that formed as the traditional stage house. They held a traditional harvest festival known as Kato Boko. Literally, Kato Boko means a big vine rice harvest. This annual cultural ritual is held by Marusu Indigenous Kingdom, the oldest kingdom in Maros. For local communities, Kato Boko becomes an expression of gratitude to God Almighty for the yield obtained each year. The tradition continues to be preserved up to now, given the values of mutual cooperation and togetherness contained therein. Listener, before the top of Kato Boko ritual event, a few days earlier, it had held a series events, among others, friendship and prayers for smoothness of harvest. At the peak of the Kato Boko event, Marusu indigenous people get together in a paddy field in Bajo Bodoa from early morning. They work together cropping the rice in an area of about 1,000 square meters. The land is a customary land that specially planted Asilapang paddy once a year. Asilapang is a local bulu rice variety. The rice has been cultivated by generations for centuries in Maros. However, now Asilapang has been very difficult to find because less privileged than modern rice, that shorter period of crop and easy to be processed. For Marusu indigenous people, Asilapang is not just local paddy varieties, but also a reference for the planting and harvesting tens of hectares of rice field around it. Farmers are not allowed to plant rice before Asilapang planted, and so, when the harvest, Asilapang should be harvested firstly, then other varieties of rice. Local people harvesting Asilapang paddy with crabs, a traditional rice stem cutting tool. Once harvested, the rice straw gathered into two big and small groups. The small clump, totaling 12 pieces, fastened in pairs at both ends of the wooden rod. Each clump weighs about 5 kilograms. The large clump is 100 kilograms weight. Each large clump tied with rattan, then draped with a piece of bamboo, but the small clumps are carried by one person. All the rice are taken to the edge of the highway. There, clumps of rice, decorated with flowers and colorful plants, before paraded to Bala Lompoa, within about 1 kilometer from the rice field. Listener, during the rice parade, residents took turns carrying a large clump. They parade by small way to run while cheering significant excitement. Upon arrival in the Bala Lompoa courtyard, the rice was greeted by the 24th King indigenous Marusu and Diwaris Karaing Sioja. Simultaneously, the song, gongs and pui pui or Makassar typical flute are played. Then the rice are lifted to Bala Lompoa. After performing a whole series of procession, the participants and invited guests also enjoy a variety of dishes. During the performing Katoboko Harvest Tradition Festival, people use Aselapang rice harvested from the previous year for dishes. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Katoboko Tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, here is Miscellany. In this edition, we feature the World Health Day. World Health Day is commemorated annually every April 7th and sponsored by the World Health Organization. The date coincides with the anniversary of the World Health Organization. How can? Back in 1948, this organization held their first World Health Assembly, where they decided to name the April 7th as the World Health Day. Since its first commemoration in 1950, the day is commemorated globally annually. Besides as anniversary of WHO, the day is devoted to be a good time to raise the awareness on the global health issues every year. The day is recognized by global governmental and non-governmental organizations with roles in public health issues. With more than 200 member countries, those organizations have global scale programs to prevent and eradicate illness. In 2016, the World Health Day is themed Beat Diabetes. The World Health Organization Southeast Regional Office Representative Sharad Adhikari said, "Diabetes is a chronic illness with heavy burden. Even this illness is said to be a global epidemic hitting the low to middle income countries. The effect of diabetes reaches beyond health, including social and economic sector. Knowing this, the theme Beat Diabetes is aimed to increase the prevention, medication, and the fight against diabetes. To achieve the goal, the Beat Diabetes campaign has three missions. First, increasing public awareness on the danger and increasing cases of diabetes, especially from the low to middle income countries. Second, improving and increasing access of specific, effective, and affordable diabetes treatment. The World Health Organization partner countries are expected to multiply the efforts of prevention, early diagnosis, and patient treatment. Third, make the people realize that economic, social, and health burden from the diabetes is enormous. For the matter, World Health Organization will issue the first global report on diabetes this year. Therefore, the information spreading related to the diabetes risk factor becomes more important, especially on the people's ever unhealthy lifestyle. With all this, the people of the world is expected to change their lifestyle for the healthy ones to avoid the burdens beyond the health. And listener, that was Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you Indonesian pop singer Titik Sandora. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song by Titi Sandora entitled Bunga Mawar. Happy listening. Siti Sandora, whose real name Umiati, was born in Bentar, Bumiayu, Central Java, on January 20, 1954. She began her singing career in 1960s. Her first recording album entitled Si Bonchal, the music was arranged by Zainal Combo leader Zainal Arifin. Witty lyrics on the album put on the highest rank of the music charts in all state and private radio stations in Indonesia at that time. In addition to Si Bonchal, there are also a song entitled Fujiyama, Si Siti Jadi Pengantin, as well as Teman Sekolah. Titik Sandora's popularity continued to rise. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Merantau by Titik Sandora. Happy listening. That successfully sung by Titik Sandora confirms the uniqueness of her voice with a nice vibration compared to other singers at that time. The top career of Titik Sandora was reached after she performed in a duet with Mohsin Alatas. Along with the man from Makassar who later became her life partner, Titik Sandora successfully released their hit song such as Halo Sayang, Dunia Belum Kiamat, Hatimu Hatiku, Pertemuan Adam dan Hawa, as well as Jangan Marah. Nevertheless, the songs of Titi and Mohsin have been well accepted by people in early 1970s. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dunia Belum Kiamat and Hatimu dan Hatiku by duet Titi Sandora and Mohsin Alatas. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
pikir-pikir sampai tua, diri miskin siapa yang mau?
Sabarlah sabar, tunggu dulu, belum tentu orang tak mau.
Sudah kupikir sama saja, jauh tinggi bulan dan bintang.
Sampai kemana abang mimpi, banyak pikir, pikir merusak hati. Kembang tidak
setangkai,
dunia belum
kiamat,
panjang umur ada jodoh. Banyak gadis
pilihan,
banyak janda
ui, ui.
Dunia belum kiamat.
World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Okay.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.